You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We about to party, unrestricted, got the house now, we gonna turn it up.
It's AEW Unrestricted. I'm Will Washington. I am with Aubrey Edwards.
Hello.
Look, we just came off of one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year.
We say that every pay-per-view, but I feel like it becomes more and more true every time.
Well, the thing about Dynasty is it was a new one and we had a lot to prove. And I think we set the tone for exactly what that event can be going forward. And just coming off of Jacksonville, which is becoming now one of my favorite places to hit.
Dude, it's so good. It's one of those things that, like, it felt a little Groundhog Day near the end of the pandemic, but every time I go back to Jacksonville, it's a blast. I love it.
The thing for me is, part of it is, like, the experiences that you got to have, where mm-hmm. everybody always tells me, oh, have you hit the fourth floor yet?
Like, fourth floor!
Yeah. There, you know, and everybody tells me about the experiences that, oh, I have to experience this thing now. They're like, okay, this, you officially popped your AEW cherry. Now you're really here. Now you're really a part of this company. So, like, that's what I think Jacksonville has really gotten to do for me. And so, and then of course we're back for Collision this week. It's been a great time. So I am happy. And I always am happy every time somebody gets to work Jacksonville for the first time.
Yes.
And of course, since our last run there in January, we've had a few names show up. So it was also just cool for them to get to experience Daly's Place for the first time. So that's really cool.
It's such a cool venue. It's just like you forget that, like, oh, it's outdoors and it's an amphitheater and it's, you're performing in a stage setting. It just changes the feeling and the dynamic of everything.
And the other thing too is this was my first time experiencing in daylight savings time.
Oh,
the last time was during winter. So it was like the sunset. It's like really cool.
It's cold.
But anyway, we've got an AEW Unrestricted to get to. We've got a show to do here. And hey, Aubrey, do you know who our guest is today?
I think I know him.
Well, you should, Aubrey, because he is the one, the only, the rated R superstar, Adam Copeland. Adam, thank you for finally being here on AEW Unrestricted. It's great to have you.
I know. I felt like you finally got me with, like, the Wonder Woman lasso of truth and hauled me in for this. And no, I'm just joking. It's been nuts. But we're getting it done.
We're getting it.
Yeah. Look, okay. I have to say, I have watched your entire career. So I don't even know where exactly I want to start, because it's like I could easily start with the AEW stuff. But I'm like, but there's like 10,000 questions I probably always wanted to ask you. So I do want to start AEW wise.
All right.
At WrestleDream Seattle. That was a moment. That was something that I think everybody was looking forward to, was excited for. Most, like, astute fans knew that, like, Metalingus wasn't a song that was exclusive to one location.
Sure.
But it still felt surreal to hear it anywhere but where we've heard it before. And all of a sudden, it's like, here's Adam Copeland. But it's Adam Copeland exactly as we know him. We don't have to make any concessions here. And what was that moment like? How did that feel coming through that curtain?
I mean, it felt really good. It was strange, for sure. I mean, it was all very new to me because I've been used to one thing for so long. So it was nice to be able to bring Metalingus with me, just to have that little bit of something familiar. So that was cool. Luckily, being friends with Alter Bridge and those guys, you know, anytime I've called, they're like, yeah, sure. Just take it. And that song, actually, I've always felt the lyrics meant something and there's something I could relate to. So that was huge. It was a crazy day. You know, I'd been kind of sequestered out in Everett, just kind of hiding out, getting DoorDash and just waiting, you know, wanting to get moving on it. You know, I had flown in and met up with Darby. We just, with Giancarlo, we just started guerrilla filming this idea, this treatment that I had. And I had heard Darby was the guy for that. So I just cold called him, said, "Hey, Darb, man, nice to meet you. I'm coming to the company and can you get me a muscle car?" And the rest is history, to the point where he's out tagging this street. We're not in the greatest neighborhood and he's tagging it. So we're flying we're flying it over and we're filming and everything. And then the Mariners had just won. So the fireworks started going off just serendipitously.
Which doesn't happen often. So you have no idea how lucky you were that happened.
I know. So it was all like, it was just so much fun. It just felt so wide open and so creative and to be so involved in the creative process. Because I really love being involved in the creative process, like heavily. So that was my first taste of how creatively responsible I could be for my vision coming to life on screen here.
For those people listening in who don't live in the Pacific Northwest, Everett is not close to Seattle. So
we'll know that in a couple of weeks, by the way, because we're actually going to be in Everett, Washington, May 15th for Dynamite.
Yeah, we wanted to get me out of sight so there was no possibilities, I guess.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things.
One restaurant and the guy goes, "Hey, what are you doing here?" I was like, and I went out to eat once. I just wanted a nice hot meal.
Yeah. I remember that day just because like I'm already in my hometown. I'm excited. It's just a phenomenal day. Will's already tried to hint at me that you're coming and I totally missed it because I'm dense. But I remember a couple weeks before doing the math of like, okay, he left this date. And then if I count, oh, that's October 1st. Oh, boy. And I had no idea. And I'm sitting there.
I left her with the silliest hint, by the way, too, because.
Oh, my God.
And she didn't catch it at all because I'm like, no. I wasn't going to give it away. I wasn't going to do anything. But it was like, she goes, "So what are we doing at Wrestle Dream?" And I was like, "You think you know." And I like walked off and she did not catch that.
I didn't catch it.
If you think you know me, I mean, maybe, but
I think it's the one word.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's great too. And you know, it's funny you talked about the meaning of that song to you, by the way. Like it's weird. In my head, it's hard to believe it's been 20 years, but that's still like the new Edge music to me, right?
I know.
Because in my head, like I remember it vividly. It was Christian Cage versus Hurricane. You had interrupted to promote the book. To promote the book, and you showed up with new music.
And I wonder why Christian hates me.
Yeah.
Literally debuted new music in the middle of his match. But you've had it. It's a song that everybody associates with your career. We just saw in Toronto, the audience singing along with it. It's great.
Yeah, it's taken on a life of its own, which is so cool. You know, it's so fun to have it be that interactive, I guess. And for me to connect with something, and it feels like people over the years have really kind of actually paid attention to the lyrics and went, oh, wow. And it almost feels like each incarnation and each new chapter that happens, it almost fits even more. Like it's grown with me. Mm-hmm. I've always said, to me, music is one of the most important aspects of your presentation. It really is, because it sets the tone, it sets the mood, it causes the explosion, it causes whatever that explosion is, negative or positive. To me, it starts everything, because the minute you come through and your first scene, that's when the presentation starts. That's when your package is being, you know, shown to the world and what you want to put out there. So it starts with the music. And I just think of when I was a kid and when certain guys or girls' music would hit and I'd be like, oh, okay, it's on. So it's always been very important to me. I've always been very hands-on with the music, with the visuals, and really the whole presentation.
It's such a part of you and who you are as a wrestler and the history that we've seen for so long. But now you're Adam Copeland at AEW. So you get to bring this part of you with you. But what has sort of been your favorite part of discovering who you are in the AEW space?
more than anything, you know, I never introduced myself as any other name besides Adam. You know, if I meet somebody, hey, Adam, nice to meet you. You know, I've played a bunch of different characters. One I just happen to play for a long time that people are really used to. This is, I guess, even since I came back, you know, at the Rumble there years ago, this has been the closest to Adam that I've been. There's not a huge difference between the character you see on TV and the person. Obviously ramped up. I don't run around attacking people in the streets.
That we know of.
Yeah, yeah. That I've been charged for anyway. But it, more than anything, it's just, you know the story. You know my story. Everybody knows the surgeries. Everybody knows the injuries. Kind of once you know that, and once the curtain's been peeled back on everything that I went through to get this back, it's much closer to me and the actual person and the father and the partner and than it is, you know, when it was this mysterious, enigmatic character or something. It's pretty much just me now, except I'll wear a leather vest instead of a flannel.
Well, and the you we're getting to know is the current reigning and defending TNT champion.
Yes.
You know, in its existence in AEW, pretty much since it was introduced in 2020, has been a title really associated with that open challenge format, the idea that anything can happen when this title is on the line. And so far with you, you've kind of really brought that back.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you? And what are you expecting to continue on with this reign?
I think Jay really, really put some onus back on that championship, really made it feel like must-see television.
Yeah.
And I want to continue that. But I thought I need to continue it in a different way. So in between having my two title reigns, I thought the Cope Open would be cool to earn the shot back, but also kind of open the door to it could be anybody. And that means it's Suzuki one week, it's Griff Garrison, it's Lee Moriarty, it's Dante Martin, it's Daniel Garcia, it's Matt Cardona.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's really fun to me. It's also fun as a performer to go, those are all completely different styles. Like there is not one guy out of that is similar. That's really cool because I love trying to put on a different hat for each opponent because I've always tried to challenge myself to go, okay, right. If I'm wrestling this guy, I can adapt. If I'm wrestling this guy, I can adapt. That's a really fun challenge, though, because sometimes maybe you don't adapt, but it's fun to find out. It just so happens you're finding out on live television. So that can be a bit of a pressure cooker, but it's just a lot of fun. It really is. And it feels like all bets are off, like anybody could show up. So look at a free agent. It's a possibility. Trust me, I'm looking at them and I'm going, I've already done all my homework. And that's really, really fun just to keep people on their toes. And if you see, you know, a Cope segment, who's going to show up? I think that's fun.
You know, and I think that's the part that makes this entire run of yours in the existence of it feel so surreal, right? Like I thought about it the moment Suzuki was having his entrance.
Yeah.
I was like, God, if you had told 2018 me that Adam Copeland was going to be wrestling here, and not just be wrestling here, but he's going to be wrestling Minoru Suzuki on AEW Dynamite. Like, it wouldn't have computed to me. It wouldn't have even made sense. None of this sounds right whatsoever, but here it is happening, and it's entirely possible. And it made me feel grateful. It made me feel like this is a really cool thing that's happening.
I mean, multiple fronts. There was no AEW. I was retired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I said, you know, when I was forced to retire, I was told that was it. You are done. There is no coming back. So for me, the ship had sailed and it wasn't like on the horizon. It was long gone, like 9 years. It's not like it was 2 years. It's not like it was 3 years or 4 years or 5 years or we're almost a decade into retirement. Right.
Yeah.
So that was that. It just, all of this has been such a second act, I guess, really. And what's been really fun about it is that I feel like I brought back more mentally with me, you know, physically, I might not be able to do some of the things my brain wants to tell me, but I feel like because of my experience, but not just experience in the ring, more my life experience now, raising kids, going through that type of injury and then turning to acting and doing, you know, like 100 episodes of television while I was retired, that really helped me bring some different tools into my bat belt, my utility belt to bring back with me. That's been really fun to explore. it's almost made me enjoy the art of the promo more than the matches at times, realizing the importance of that and what a storytelling tool that we have at our disposal if we can try and really master this thing. And there's no fully mastering it, but getting as close as you can and finding your voice in it, I think is really, really important. And what's been really fun too is just sitting down with younger talent. You know, if they want to pick my brain, I've told everybody I'm wide open. I am here. Here's my number. Might take me a day or two because kids, life, dogs, all that stuff, but I'll get to it and I'll watch it. And then we can sit down and peel apart together. And that's a really fun process just to see light bulbs start to go off for people. I'll go, ooh, okay, I'll try that. Hey, and it might not work for them, but give it a shot and see if it works for you. This has worked for me.
There are so many things you said that I want to talk more about, and I'm so excited, but we got to take a break real quick, and then we'll talk more when we come back here on AEW Unrestricted.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
AEW Unrestricted, Aubrey Edwards, Will Washington, Adam Copeland. We've got so many things we've talked about. I'm already like sitting here just like fully inspired by this conversation. We've got two full more segments to come up. So you had touched on a little bit before the break that you got really into acting and doing TV and over 100 episodes of television while you were retired. What was that process like getting into acting, and what has that brought to you from a wrestling perspective?
I didn't fully realize what it brought to me until I came back. Acting was a happy accident. I never had aspirations. I never wanted that to be my career. I was pro wrestler. That's it. That was the end game. And that's all I ever wanted to do. But when you're told you can't do it, got to wrap your mind around some stuff. And luckily, executive producer for a show called Haven, they saw my retirement speech and they said, can we get that guy? Went out there and one episode turned into 41. In the process, I learned, wow, this is really awesome. Like, this is a cool gig. It's not wrestling. You don't have that instant gratification to know if what you're doing is working, if people are picking up what you're putting down. But it's still very creative, and it's still tapping into that creative vein, and I need that. I think anybody who's involved in wrestling is a creative person. So it became kind of my place to still get that out. And fell in love with it, started putting work toward it. I just talked to directors, talked to, you know, the DP and go, okay, why are we lighting this way? Why are we doing this? Or why are we doing this angle? Why are we get, you know, just and talking to other actors and saying, why'd you make that choice? Not questioning it, but wondering.
Learning.
Why. Yeah. Yeah. To the point where it's probably annoying people, but that's what I did in wrestling. You know, I just asked questions. If I was on an indie show and Bad News Brown was on it, I was going straight to Bad News and going, okay, what do you got for me? Because my ears are wide open. And I wanted to be the same way on a set. In coming back to wrestling, I realized how many different things that I could use, because as much as they're different, they're still the same tree. They're just kind of different branches, right? It was fascinating to kind of come back, like I said, with a promo and realize how to use movement, how to use stillness to make it mean more, how to use your eyes, because everything pulled with these things. So often in wrestling, we get caught up in moves and spots and, you know, sequences or whatever the terms are nowadays, but give me these all day. And I'm going to get more across with those than I will by doing a shooting star. Plus, I can't do one. So there's that.
It's crazy because like I have 20 years of ballet experience, and you saying the eyes, it's like we were frequently told during rehearsal, it's like, okay, what are your eyebrows doing?
Yeah.
It's every little thing. You don't realize how every part of you encompasses the story you're telling until you think about like, well, where are my fingers pointing when I'm doing this scene?
Yeah.
What am I looking at? What is my body language? Where is the camera coming in from? It's just fascinating stuff.
And it was a learning curve when I first started acting. I've told the story before, but there was a director. Her name is Lee Rose. We were doing some of my first close-ups, and I was just doing the wrestling thing. This is what I know, right? Mm-hmm. And she came up to me after the take. She goes, what you doing with your eyes there? And I went, I don't know. What am I doing? She goes, you should stop doing it. And I went, okay, well, show me, because I have no idea what you're talking about. So she pulls me back to the monitor and we're looking. I was like, oh, Lord, I look like a madman because it's right here and my eyebrows are, and my eyes are, you know, and I'm like, oh, I'm going for a football stadium. Mm-hmm. And this isn't that. You can see my nose hairs. So I got to pull everything back here and make sure that I don't look like a maniac, because the scene doesn't call for that. So it took some getting used to pull everything back. And then in coming back to wrestling, where you want everything to be that again, I realized, no, you can still use those things. You just got to make sure the time's right, the camera's hot. So I'm always aware of where we are and what's going on, and trying to play to them accordingly. There's a lot of plates to keep in the air out there. And that's also one of the things that I've always loved about professional wrestling, and I have much more of an understanding of now in this run than I did in the first.
Well, that's the thing I wanted to ask you, because, you know, talking about coming out of acting and everything you picked up from it, you know, you got to return to professional wrestling in a manner that I don't think any of us will ever forget. Mm-hmm. That was one of those, you know, it was the day Kobe Bryant died. So I'll always associate it with.
Strange day.
And I was, and I was like sad all day. And then it's like, oh my God, Adam's back. What are we talking about here? And like, it was like this range of emotions for that day. But, you know, talking about coming from acting, you know, you got to return to a world you knew, or almost you thought you knew, because the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
Right after that.
Yeah.
Did you feel like what you were able to do in acting really enhanced what you were able to do without an audience?
Yeah. You know, it was weird. Even that day, as I was kind of sequestered in the manager, the Houston Astros manager's office, I was like seeing this stuff about COVID. And I was like, because it was just filtering into our psyche at that point, mm-hmm. Kobe and all of this. So it was just, it was a very surreal time. Then when everything really hit, and I remember just going live with the promo. It was the first segment of Raw since the pandemic. And I was doing a promo and I went, oh, I got to go straight down the barrel on this. There's no other way to do this. But I had that realization 10 seconds before we were live. I just cut a monologue, essentially, and treated it like an audition. And after, I was like, okay, I think that's the way I need to tackle these from now on, and at least while things are like this. And hopefully now you'll pay more attention to the little subtleties and the nuances and all of the little things that you put in there, because there's not a yelling audience. There's not an audience to play off of. So now hopefully people are at home watching and seeing all of the little things that I want to try. Still, getting crowds back was so much better.
Life-changing.
You know, it's like I look back on it, I'm like, man, the first full year of my comeback and there was nobody there. You know, obviously, bigger fish to fry, you know, like boo-hoo for me, right? Like, there's a worldwide pandemic. But
your poor, unfortunate life. You're still on live TV.
Yeah, right? I got it so tough. But, like, there's still a part of me that's like, man, that first year would have been really cool. But at the same time, I leaned into whatever the positives could be. And from that, once we got audiences back, like I said, I learned that I could keep some of the things that worked there and pull them into this new phase of what wrestling on television is.
Yeah, it's such a weird time to think that it was so recent, but it feels like forever ago.
It feels like decades ago already.
Right.
And it also just shows how adaptable we are as a human race to soldier on. But yeah, it feels like a long time ago, and I'm glad it does.
Yeah, definitely. So you come back to wrestling,
yeah.
Pandemic happens, you get to start performing in front of fans again, you have these amazing matches. And then from there, you end up jumping over to AEW. Yeah. Like, what was the catalyst for that?
You know, I really sat down and I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I had a match that I loved with Sheamus in my hometown. About halfway through that match, I was like, this could be it. There's a very good chance this could be it, because I feel really good about this. But I knew I needed to, like, get away from the emotions of the night, sit down when I got home, put my flannel on and just sit in my rocking chair and think, right? Get a cup of coffee, sit with my girls and just say, so what do you think? What should dad do? And what I said in the promo was true. They said, go be with Uncle Jay and have fun. Mm. Not that I wasn't having fun, but I truly felt like I could help more with AEW and be allowed to help more. Like I wanted to be there week in, week out. I didn't want to pop in every 3 months, every 4 months. I wanted to be hands-on because I felt like that's a way I could help more often just by constantly being there, by constantly sitting with talent or watching their stuff or whatever that is, or getting in the ring with them, you know, getting hands-on. That's how you can really, really do some things. So more than anything, I think it was that, just looking at the totality of the industry and going, okay, where do I feel like I could possibly help more or be given the opportunity to help more? And it was AEW. And then I looked at the roster, and that for me was a biggie because I just started running down the list and I was like, oh my God, like all of these people I've never worked with, I've never wrestled. And it was almost everybody, like 98% of the roster. That's insane. Like even guys that you would assume, like me and Samoa Joe, we've never been in the ring.
It's wild.
That's crazy, right? That to me was one that I went, oh, we have to rectify that. We have to remedy that.
Please, please.
Yeah. Hangman, because I'm loving, I love his stuff. And Moxley, like Moxley and I have never touched. And this incarnation of me and this incarnation of him, ooh, man, I'm jonesing for that one. And then you got Swerve catching fire, who I've always, you know, him and I have always had a great relationship. And I've always seen what I think everybody else is starting to really grasp onto now. FTR, the Bucks, you know, like Claudio and I have never been in a ring together.
How the fuck?
Right? Like how has that happened? Like even Brian and I have only had one singles match. It was like 4 minutes long. And then we had a triple threat. But that's it. Like we've never had a proper these guys one-on-one. You can keep going down the list. Like it's just name after name after name after name. And that's really, really exciting to me because this deep into my career, I think I'm 32 years in now, to have a whole set of new challenges, that gets my hair standing up because the challenges are my thing, right? I always try to set new challenges for myself because otherwise I just need that. It was a challenge to come back from a triple fusion on my neck. Nobody's done it before. Okay, right. Let's give it a shot.
Hold my beer.
hold my beer. Hold my scotch. And in looking at this roster, it was super exciting. That was before Ospreay and that was before Okada. Omega and I have never touched. Like seriously, like think about those matches, those names. Like, so that's why, you know, it really is. There was only so much to do with WWE. And I feel like I'd done it all. And I feel like we both felt that way. It was just time. And to look at this new company, this exciting company, and I'd watch and I'd be stoked. I'm like, man, it'd be fun to get there. It'd be awful fun. And then I had friends there and I talked to them. They're like, you'd have a lot of fun. And honestly, at this stage of life, I'm 50 years old. If it's not fun, I'm not going to do it. There are a lot of reasons, but the main thing was just the excitement of it, the challenge of it, and the roster.
Age aside, if you're not having fun, you shouldn't do it. Independent if you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, however old you are, like wrestling is meant to be fun, whether you're the performing or you're watching it or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I've loved having you as a coworker is it's very clear to see that you are having fun.
You know, and it feels like people like find that hard to believe that it's work, but you're having fun. Like this is all yes. I ever wanted to do. There's nothing else that was on my docket. This was it. And I'm getting to do it. And I get to do it for this long. And I get to do it at the level that I've done it and seen the things I've seen and worked the people I've worked. There ain't nothing bad about that.
I love it. And honestly, I'm so excited. Just the list you named, there's so much I want to get to talking about. And it'll be on the other side of the break because we're going to get there right here when AEW Unrestricted continues. AEW Unrestricted. It's Aubrey Edwards. It's Will Washington. And we're with our guest of honor. He is the one and only Rated R superstar, Adam Copeland. Cope, I'm getting really adjusted to saying Cope. I see it on all your gear. I see it on your shirts. I'm like, Cope.
I'm trying.
It's sticking with me. Like, I was talking with Mike Mansouri the other day, and he's like, I know him as one thing and it's all I'm going to know him as. I'm like, no, Cope, I'm going to stick with Cope. I know Cope and I can get with Cope.
Yeah, you know, I was honestly, I was just like, okay, if I'm looking at a marquee, Adam Copeland versus Sting, Cope versus Sting now. Okay, that feels a little sexier. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the right word, but you know, I don't think anybody would term me in versus Sting sexy, but you know what I'm saying? It jumps out.
I like it. I genuinely do. It has already grown on me. One of the things you mentioned, though, was kind of giving back. And it's one of my favorite things to watch, actually, backstage. Mm-hmm. I sit back and I observe it because I think it's really cool when after somebody's match, I watch you sit with them and talk about what you saw, what you felt they could have worked on. I watched after the ladies had the street fight just a few weeks ago, and you were talking with every single one of them. And it's one of those things that I think everybody at some point, I think, feels that they would like to give back to the business at some point.
Sure.
And getting to watch you do that has been really cool to see. And I see it every single week. And for those who don't know, this is just something that Adam Copeland does. And it's really great.
I had plenty of examples that showed me that that's what you should do. Over the years, if I saw Bad News Brown or if I saw Rick Martel, or I would just pick their brains. You know, and I think they saw that it was genuine, that I really did want to know, what do you got in there? Please fill me in, because you've been places that I want to get to. I've watched matches of yours that caused me to feel, and I want to make people feel. So how'd you do it? If I can be any small cog in the wheel of making someone better at the craft, great. Or even just open their eyes to something or open their ears to something. Because it's a collaborative thing. And I don't know if my experience over the years can in any way help, then that's another reason why I signed with AEW. Because I truly thought, okay, with my experience, I could help some people that I see are right on that cusp. I see it. I'm like, ooh, I don't even know if they see it yet, but I see it. That's fun. Like I said, I had so many people over the years between Bad News and the Rick Martels and the Michael Hayes and the Pat Pattersons and the Tom Pritchards and the Dory Funks and the Bret Harts. All of those people took their time to sit with me, to teach me, talk to me. And I'll never forget it. Like, those lessons are imprinted in my brain for life. And it really is fun to sit down and just chop it up with some young talent. You know, I love sitting down and talking to Daniel Garcia. You know, and even when we wrestled, I was like, try this, feel this out. How'd that feel? That's really, really fun. It's really, really fun. When I wrestled Dante, I was like, okay, dude, so here's the story I want to tell. Your strength is flying, so I want to take away your equilibrium. I'm going to work your ear. I was like, how do you feel about that? He was like, you can tell he's kind of thrown off, but I was like, I just want to try it. I just want to see. It was so much fun just to give it a try and see what sticks. That's always been a part of this that I've really loved, is just sitting down and collaborating and either helping or being helped.
So you're doing all these great things for our up and coming roster and implanting this amazing kind of feeling of growth amongst all of us. Like, I know, like, you and I haven't sat down to like download after a match, but I distinctly remember like you and Garcia talking afterwards, and I'm just sitting there like soaking in everything like a sponge. And I'm just like, this match was great. Now let me learn everything about how all of them approached it and thought about it and whatnot. So on the other side, you're working with someone who you've known for years in Christian Cage.
Yeah.
I was sitting at home watching this I Quit match. You got the title back because you had the title before. It ended up being the shortest reign in company history, but you got the title back. How do you approach something like that when you've known someone for so long and you have all this history together, as opposed to all of these other matches you're doing in the Cope Open?
Again, back to the challenge of it, right? Like, from wrestling a Griff Garrison, right? Who's just so young.
Great kid.
And great guy. And so much upside and so much potential. To then getting in there with a guy that I've been best friends with for 40 years and who has been doing this for 30 years. So between us, we got over 60 years of experience in there. I always say, like, it's pure bliss, or it's almost pure joy, when you can just fully be in the moment and you can fully, you're taking everything in. You're taking in crowd reactions. You're taking in just every little bit because you have time to. because there's no thought. You're just doing. That to me is when the really, really the magic cakes get baked. I don't know where that came from, by the way.
I'm stealing that. That's a great phrase.
But it just a joy, honestly, to be in there and just perform and have no real thought other than, you know, these people are going to get off on this one. This is going to be fun. There's going to be a hockey fight.
Oh, I lost it at the hockey fight. The Bruins jersey, the Maple Leafs jersey, and then in the box, I was dying.
There were so many aspects that were just so fun. And really another one of the reasons why I wanted to come to AEW. I wanted to, for us to get our proper chance to tell this story that I don't feel like we were ready when we had the chance before, 20 some odd years ago. I felt like now, the performer that he is now, the performer that I am now, I knew it was just going to be so much different. And it's exactly the way I felt it would be. And then some, just so much fun. And then to get in there with Cardona, who I'd never wrestled before, teamed with plenty of times, but to see and feel his growth, he blew me away with just how much of a professional he is, how polished he is, how good he is. Again, it was one of those moments where I could just totally be in the moment and just soak it all in and hear it all and feel it all. Man, the nights like that are, that's why you do it. It really is. Those are the things. It's like, this isn't work. It's really not. When it's like that, and when it's this thing you've always wanted to do, like there's no other way to put it. I'm one of the luckiest dudes in the world because I know the small percentage of people that decided they're going to be something and then got to do it. Mm-hmm. I am one of those people, and I know how rare that is. So I don't look any of it. I don't look past any of it, especially having it pulled away for 9 years. That's why every little thing, man, I'm just soaking it up and enjoying it for all it's worth. Because again, you know, with my age, with my injuries, I know it's not going to last forever. So I just want to make sure like every little bit of it is going to be with me for life.
That's amazing. And it's amazing too, because I remember I mentioned it to Christian almost right before the match. You know, you mentioned getting to do it you guys' way and getting to do it properly and getting to tell you guys a story. That's one of the things I've always appreciated about AEW. And I really appreciated it the first time. Remember when Jimmy Jacobs started in AEW and he walks in, he could go in honestly three different directions, because it's like, okay, here's people I know from WWE over here. But oh, here are the people I know from TNA. But right here, oh my God, there's the people I know from Ring of Honor. And they all knew him from a different space, but everybody had come together, and it really reminded me of what AEW is. And seeing Christian Cage's rise over the years and seeing what he became and how he really got to find himself as a singles performer and as a top level singles performer in TNA all those years, then to come to AEW and find himself that way. And he's using music that he established in TNA, but here he is with the Christian Cage name and all of that. And then here you are, where you've established your name elsewhere, but everything has now come together from almost two different places in one place. Mm-hmm. But it's also two guys that we know from their partnership together. And it's like, only in AEW, because of AEW's existence, could all of this come together the way it has. And only AEW could make that happen.
Well, and that's why the other night, you know, when I cut that promo, it wasn't even really a promo. I was just saying what I felt. Mm-hmm. I've always just enjoyed pro wrestling, period. I think it's a great time to be in the industry. It's a great time to be a fan of the industry. I've never understood why people get so fixated on initials. I just love good wrestling. And I also appreciate a place where you can tap into a wrestling fan's memory. Because I've always said, wrestling fans remember, and they want to be rewarded for remembering. They want to be rewarded for being there for the long haul. And man, I'd have discussions about it. Nobody's going to remember. Nobody's going to remember. I was like, well, with that attitude, no. But I have a feeling they will. And if they don't, that's what packages are for. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I digress. So I get here, and when Matt Cardona's music hit, I went, they remember. Yeah. Wrestling fans remember. And they want to be rewarded for these things and to see these things that they never thought they'd get a chance to see. That's why I think AEW is so much fun. Because truly, like, I could go out for a Cope Open. Who knows who's going to show up? Man, I got a list. And that's not even within AEW. So that happens here. And that's a really fun place to navigate from. Yeah, you know, I love getting on that plane every week. I really do. You know, I hate leaving the girls, but I love getting there and just trying to create something. And like I said, if I can pass on anything in the meantime while I'm there, you know, even better.
It's so great because as you were saying that, I was sitting here going, oh, Will remembers everything. Like, that's just one who he is. And of course, like, he's remembered your entire career. But for me, my first introduction to you was actually, because I didn't watch wrestling as a kid, my first introduction to you was your retirement speech.
Okay.
That was the first thing I ever saw you do. So I'm like, okay, well, I know this guy's really important and this is really sad and everyone's very sad. Okay, cool. So it's not just all of the things that you've done before, but all of the new memories you're making today. That's one of the things that I love seeing you interacting with the fans is like this moment that doesn't exist outside of this present moment that we're all going to remember forever.
That's when this industry is at its best, right? Mm-hmm. Again, it's not about the moves. Those help. Those are the garnish, right? But what people really latch on to, and they might not even realize it, is what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And that's how you make moments. Moments are the things that are actually remembered more so than necessarily the moves. Now, you'll have your stuff here and there that will be replayed and replayed and replayed. And there are those, don't get me wrong. But if you do that all the time, then people get desensitized and then what, right? So I know that Spirit of Jeff Hardy is going to be played forever, right? And that was a move. But when I really caught on to what made the difference, it was when I started paying more attention to here than to the moves. Mm-hmm. And that creates moments, that creates memories. So many times, like I remember Omega and Brian. And what I remember most is before they locked up.
Absolutely.
They're just standing there.
I was in that crowd and I remember, you know, you always remember how wrestling made you feel. And I remember being in that crowd for that. And just that feeling of,
yeah,
my God, these two are locking eyes with each other. And I can't believe this is happening. And yeah, I agree with you.
It was a moment, you know, before Christian and I like locked up the other night. It was like, ooh, I'm feeling that. I'm feeling that. Those are moments, you know, and you as a performer, you feel them too. I mean, there's no way around it. Like if you're in the vicinity of that, you feel it.
You know, it's special.
Yeah. And that's the beautiful thing about this. You know, I've always related to like stand up. If you go see somebody in stand up and their set is killing and you're feeling it, you're all in this thing together. But if you're bombing, better try down this path. It's the same with the match. It's the same with the story. Or like a set list with a band. Mm-hmm. I've always appreciated, you know, I'm wearing a Pearl Jam shirt, but I've heard Pearl Jam call their set on the fly. That to me is amazing because they're reading the room. Mm-hmm. There's very few industries where you can do that and have that kind of interactive, kind of reciprocal relationship. And I just find that so fascinating. It's the human dynamics and understanding what moves a large audience or what moves one person. It's really, really fun to dive into. And I'm constantly reading books on it and trying to grasp how the mind works. It's fun because you can pull it back into this.
Adam Copeland, this has been an amazing conversation. I wish we could do this for another 45 minutes.
Is it 45?
Yeah.
I get verbal diarrhea. So.
No, it's good. It makes it easy on us, man. I'm just sitting here just like loving my job even more listening to you. So.
But hey, it's about creating moments. It's about creating memories. It's about that feeling. And you can get that feeling when you watch AEW Dynamite every Wednesday. You can watch AEW Collision every Saturday, AEW Rampage every Friday. We've got Ring of Honor available every Thursday, Honor Club, watchroh.com. And of course, we've got Double or Nothing coming up here. It's going to be live on pay-per-view. It's going to be at the MGM Grand. So definitely make sure to check that out. AEWtix.com is the way to get your tickets. Otherwise, Adam Copeland, thank you for being here on AEW. You unrestricted.
Thanks for having me finally, or me finally getting there.
Took a bit, but it was well worth the wait.
All right, and we will see you next time. Have a great day.
Bye.
Come on, throw your hands up. Let me see you. Unrestricted.